The test is in four part, part one, part two, part three, and part four. Now look at part one.
Part one.
You will hear part of a conversation between a customer and the owner of an IT store. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 8. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 8.
So, before we go any further, can we just confirm what has been agreed so far, as it's starting to get a little complicated?
Certainly. Tell you what, why don't I start to make out the invoice? Should I address it to you personally, or is there a business name you'd like me to use?
We trade under the name Ben and Di Enterprises.
OK. Now, as you were talking to one of my sales reps to start with, I'm going to put him down as the contact on the invoice. That way, he'll get the commission on this sale, you see.
His name was Rowan Laver, is that right? Rather peculiar name, but a lovely man.
You almost got it. It's Rome, as in the city, and Laver, L-A-V-E-R. Your order number is 6589B521. You're paying in full, is that right?
Yes.
OK. Today's the 4th of April, so we'll put a due date of the 10th on there. Now, do you remember your order details?
Yes. First there was the filing cabinets.
Of course, for a rate of £15 each. Didn't you order print paper as well?
Yes, we're taking 20 glossy photo paper bundles. What's the unit price again?
It works out at £20 per bundle and £400 in total.
And Rome said we could do a deal on the software packages, isn't that right?
Yes. Seeing as you bought 5 at once, we'll reduce the unit price to £100 from £120, leaving us with a total amount of £500. I needn't remind you that there is an additional fixed charge, totalling £40, specifically for the software installation.
Of course.
So, getting to a total figure then including sales tax, 16% VAT is added on. That gives us £1,160 by my reckoning.
By VAT, do you mean sales tax? Isn't that 10%?
It's 25% on some products and 10% on others. We work out an aggregate figure and apply it to all goods sold. In this case, it was 16%, as I've mentioned.
Fair enough.
Before listening to the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 9 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 9 to 10.
Listen, I know the due date isn't for a week, but do you mind if I write you out a cheque today?
Not at all. You can make it out to me, Michael McCloskey.
How do you spell that, then?
What, McCloskey? It's capital M-C, capital C-L-O-S-K-E-Y.
Got it. And how much should I make it out for, in total?
£1,500, please.
£1,500?
Yes, that's including my consultancy service fees.
Oh, I almost forgot about that. Let me make a note here on the cheque. Includes consultancy fees. Now we're almost done.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part two.
Part two.
First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 16. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 16.
Hello, Sue. Fancy meeting you here. It is Sue Johnson, isn't it? Oh, hi, Jill. It must be ages since we've seen each other. What a surprise. How are you? Yes, well, I'm fine. I just got back from 2 years teaching in Hong Kong, actually. Oh, I thought you'd gone into computing or nursing. No, I ended up being a teacher after all. And how about you? Oh, fine. Things are going quite well, in fact. So, what have you been up to over the last 3 years? Working, studying, you know, the usual things. Oh, and I got married last year. Congratulations. Anyone I know? Yeah, you might remember him from our college days. Do you remember Jerry? Jerry Fox? Jerry? Was he the one with the dark hair and beard? No, that was Sam. No, Jerry's got blonde hair and glasses. He's pretty tall. Well, we got married, finally. Great. And where did the wedding take place? Was it here in London? No, in the end, we decided to get married in Scotland. Jerry's parents live there, so we were married in the small village church with the mountains in the background. Fabulous. Have you got any pictures? Well, funny you should ask. I have actually got a couple here. They're a bit battered because I've been carrying them around in my bag. Oh, never mind. Let's have a look. Oh, don't you look wonderful? Who are those people behind you? Oh, that's my older sister, Clara. Oh, she looks like you. Do you think so? Everyone says that, but we can't see it. Is she married now? Yes, and she's got 3 children, a girl and 2 boys as well. Wow, imagine having twins. Look, why don't we have dinner together and catch up on a few things? Would you like to come over one evening? Oh, that'd be lovely. What about next Friday evening? Fine. What time? Shall I come over about 8 o'clock? Oh, come about 7:30. I'm usually home around 6:30, so that'd give me plenty of time to get dinner ready. Oh, fine. And, one last thing. Where do you live? What's the address? Oh, good thinking. Here's my card. The address is on the back. We've got a flat in an old house. We live on the 3rd floor of a large old house. The house has been converted into flats, so when you arrive, you'll need to press the bell 2nd from the top. The bell 2nd from the top, okay? There's a little intercom arrangement, so I can let you in. Right, okay, see you on Friday then.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 17 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 17 to 20.
Welcome, Jill. This is my husband, Jerry. Jerry, this is Jill.
Hi, Jill. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Jerry. Well, let's come in and take a seat.
Sue told me that you've just returned from Hong Kong. Was it a pleasant trip? What kind of city is it?
Oh, well, Hong Kong enjoys a reputation for the flourishing business. It has a population of around 6.6 million. Much larger than that of Sydney, right? Sydney has a population of 4 million, I think. Yes, did you enjoy staying there? Well, being a metropolis has advantages. You get the latest films and music. There's always something going on, and there's such a wide variety of different people and cultures that it's difficult to get bored. Of course, all this has its downside. The cost of living is very expensive, and most people cannot afford to go out very often. So although the entertainment is available, you have to have a lot of money to enjoy it. Another problem is, like most big cities, there's a lot of crime. What about the weather? I suppose that it gets a lot of rain. Not always. In summer it's humid, but it's cool and dry in winter. The average temperature in June and July is about 91 degrees Fahrenheit. Hotter than here. The best seasons are spring and autumn. They are mild and agreeable. Is there anything you particularly miss of staying there? Yes, the tasty local food is to my liking, especially the seafood. Hong Kong also enjoys the fame of a paradise for shopping. But I'm not very keen on that, you know. I suppose it must be your favourite. Most shopping malls in Hong Kong have longer opening hours than those in Sydney. Some are even open the whole night during the Christmas holidays. Oh, it sounds lovely. I hope I have a chance to travel there. And I can be your tour guide. Yes, that's great.
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part three.
Part three.
You are going to hear a conversation between an interviewer and a professor. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 26. Now listen to the tape and answer questions 21 to 26.
Today I'm here with Professor Nitik, who is our new university president. He has been a professor for 20 years and teaches many of the best classes on campus. I know many of you have had him as a teacher and know of his brilliance. Good morning, Professor Nitik. Thank you for stopping by the student station.
Thank you for having me here. It is always great to get to meet many of the students who are involved with our school. I haven't been here since 2 years ago.
Yes, I remember at that time you were still teaching every semester. 2 years later, you're only teaching every once in a while. But it seems like you are still always busy. The administration world is just as busy as the teaching world for you. How do you stay in touch with the university, even with the change in your everyday duties?
I try to stay in touch with what is popular with the university students. I usually spend time with as many students as I can. They usually give me insight into what the new concerns and beliefs are for the new generation. On top of that, I try to be as youthful as I can. I consider myself to be youthful, at least for my age. So I always have a good time and try to stay young. I try my best to not just be a teacher, but also participate in university life.
Interesting. So are you still doing lots of academic work, or are you mostly concentrating on administrative affairs?
Well, I mostly do administrative affairs now, but that doesn't mean that I still don't have a very deep interest in academic matters. I often visit other campuses around the world and meet other professors in my field. I learn the most by travelling and seeing the different places of the world and the different fields of thought. I even did a television programme last month in Manchester.
Will you be on television any time soon, then?
Well, you can call the television station and see if I will be on television any time soon. Maybe I will be on the news report. I don't think it is really that significant, though.
Oh, really? That sounds great. I will remember to look out for you. Let's move on. With all your busy travelling recently, how do you find time for your personal life?
I try to keep my university life separate from my personal life. Sometimes it's hard to find time to just take my wife and three kids out for a family dinner, but usually we all manage to get together every few days. I'm taking a few weeks off next month to take my family down to South America, to Brazil for a few days. I can't wait to just sit on the beach.
Wow, that sounds like a wonderful trip. Professor Nittick, could you tell the audience a little about what goes on in an average day of a university administrator?
An average day? Oh, I don't think there is such thing as an average day for me. The last few weeks I've been travelling all the time. I can be in Los Angeles in the morning and in New York by the afternoon and back to Los Angeles by the evening. Sometimes I will spend the whole week at a new university, showing the new administrators the ins and outs of running a university. Sometimes I can spend the whole day in the office on the phone. So there really is no average day for me. I guess that is because I do so many different tasks. Sorry to let all the viewers down, but that is the plain truth.
Now look at questions 27 to 30. Now listen to the tape and answer questions 27 to 30.
Well, I guess I can sum it up for them. You are a busy man. That is probably a good description. So, are there any immediate plans for the coming few weeks?
Well, I'm in Los Angeles for the next 2 days, and then I fly to Colorado to meet a new prospective professor for our university. I will be in Colorado for about a week. Then I go to Japan for the next 10 days to meet with our university branch in Japan about record sales there. After that, I return to Los Angeles for a week, just in time for the graduation of the class of 2001. There you have it, my next month's schedule.
Thank you very much, Professor Nittick. I always enjoy having you on our show. We hope to have you back on our show next time.
That is the end of part 3.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part 4.
Part 4.
You are going to hear a conversation about using recorded delivery and registered post.
First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Tom, where are you going?
To the post office. I'm going to send some packets to Leeds. Do Do you know the best way to send them?
Well, if your need is for a record of posting and delivery rather than compensation for loss, recorded delivery is particularly suitable for sending documents and papers of little or no monetary value.
Well, what can we send for recorded delivery?
All kinds of inland postal packets except parcels, airway and railway letters and parcels. The service does not apply to mail for the Irish Republic.
I see. How do I post them?
You should get a certificate of posting form from the container in the post office and follow the instructions shown on the reverse. The certificate will be your record of posting.
Can I send anything in the post?
No, you can't. You must not send banknotes, currency notes, and some valuable things because there is no special handling in the post. Recorded delivery mail is carried with the ordinary unregistered post, and there is no special security treatment.
How do we use recorded delivery?
Well, when your letter or packet is delivered, it is signed for by the recipient and a record is kept by the post office. The post office does not undertake to deliver recorded delivery or any other mail to the addressee in person, but to the address shown. You can obtain confirmation of delivery by completing an advice of delivery form either at the time of posting or later. This form will be signed by a post office official, not by the addressee of the recipient. A fee is payable, which is lower if the form is handed in at the time of posting.
Is there any compensation for loss?
Well, compensation is limited. Compensation may be paid for loss or damage, but will not be paid for money or any other inadmissible item. If you want a speedy service for articles of value with extra security of handling en route, and wish to have compensation in the event of loss or damage, you should use registered post.
What can we send if we use registered post?
Any first-class letter or packet, except airway letter or railway letter.
How do we post? I mean, what should we do?
Well, you should make sure that the packet is made up in a strong cover, and then it is fastened with wax, gum or other adhesive substance. Hand the packet to the post office counter clerk, together with the cost of postage and the registration fee. Do not post it in the posting box. Make sure that the fee paid is adequate to cover the value of the content. The counter clerk will give you a certificate of posting, which he has initiated with the date stamped.
Is there any special security for the registered post?
Yes. All registered mail receives special security treatment. Packing is very important, because registration is not in itself a safeguard against damage. The contents of registered packets must be adequately packed.
How do we pack then? Do we have to use special envelope?
Yes, you have to send the articles in one of the registered letter envelopes sold by the post office. These envelopes are already stamped for first-class postage and have the minimum registration fee.
What about the compensation?
Compensation will not be paid for the following articles, such as banknotes, currency notes, trading stamps, coupons, and some valuable things, unless they are enclosed in one of the registered letter envelopes sold by the post office.
I see. How does it deliver?
The recipient on delivery signs for your registered mail. The post office does not undertake to deliver registered or any other mail to the addressee in person, but to the address shown. You can obtain confirmation of delivery by paying an additional fee and completing an advice of delivery form, either at the time of posting or later. If you require the recipient's signature on the advice of delivery, the form must be handed in at the time of posting. Otherwise, a post office official will sign the certificate. The advice of delivery fee is lower if the form is handed in at the time of posting.
Thank you very much for all this useful information.
That is the end of part 4.